Welcome to the Second Mom's Circle. I'm Dawn Baggett, your host, and as an adoptive mom myself and a post-adoption mom coach, I want you to feel welcome here as this is a safe space for you, adoptive moms who are maybe finding yourself in the gap. What is the gap? Well, the gap is something that I identified not only in my own life and my own family, but also in many, many others. And it happens that as adoptive moms, we often find ourselves in a gap with inadequate or even almost non-existent support and ineffective support in our roles as adoptive mom. It kind of feels like the rug is just pulled out from under you sometimes. So if that's something that you can relate to, let's dive in. In many adoptive families, children have suffered an enormous degree of trauma, and in particularly the loss of not only their first parents, their first mom, but other caregivers as well in their formative years. So can setting emotional boundaries help you avoid burnout as an adoptive mom and caregiver? You've seen and heard quite a bit about setting boundaries by now, I suppose, and perhaps you have a good grip on what it means to set personal boundaries with others. And you've even put this into practice in your own life. Even so, to make sure that we're on the same page today, you need to know that what I mean by the word boundaries is that dividing line or boundary you make to protect something of yours from the trespass by another, that says you will not continue past that line, that boundary, with the other person. So you won't tread on their turf, they don't get to tread on yours. In practice, it may sound something like, I will not continue listening to you yell obscenities at me. So that's a boundary to protect your, turf, right? You don't want to listen to that kind of thing and try to have a conversation. So it's a boundary. A boundary to protect your finances might sound like, I won't continue paying you while your work is still unfinished. One to protect property might sound something like, I won't leave without locking the door first. I won't leave home without us making sure the doors are locked. To protect physical safety, you might say, I won't stay in the house where there are unsecured weapons. Okay, so there's a bunch of different variation of examples of what I think of when I'm talking about personal boundary setting. So with all these various boundaries to protect different things, there may be an emotional component, and probably is in pretty much all of them. But today I want us to pick apart and focus primarily on emotional boundaries as a standalone thing. So you may set boundaries to protect your time, your physical body, your work or ability to get work done, your belongings. You can also set boundaries to protect or primarily protect your emotional safety. So let's talk about that. What is an emotional boundary? Emotional boundaries have to do with the separateness of your emotional experience from that of someone else's. I think of emotional boundaries as the other side of the coin of empathy. So empathy says, I care about you and your feelings. And even, I know what that feels like. The flip side, healthy emotional boundaries say, you have your feelings and I have mine. And I say healthy because those two can coexist. Healthy empathy and healthy emotional boundaries without going too far or exclusively one way or the other. An emotional boundary protects your feelings and your emotions from getting trampled on by others, as well as from absorbing those of someone else, taking on someone else's feelings as your own, like a sponge. So here's some examples of emotional boundaries. Emotional boundaries like the one I stated above, that you won't continue the conversation while the other person hurls insults. That can be an emotional boundary. Protective of your emotions that are likely being invaded upon and trampled if you're making that kind of a boundary. So the boundary is, I won't da 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 da. Which begs the question, okay, so what will you do? This is the two-part boundary setting. You can set the boundary, but what do you do about it, right? When they cross the boundary or they start to cross the boundary. It's like a fence that just, you know, falls down. It doesn't really do anything. You've heard about those invisible fences, those underground fences to keep a dog in their own yard. And it's got a sensor on the dog's collar. But if the power's turned off to the sensor, and I'm not saying yay or nay to those. Don't start on me about that. I don't have one, okay? But just as an example, if you don't have power to the sensor to give the dog the sensation that, hey, here's where the boundary is, then that invisible fence is not only invisible, it might as well not be there at all. So this is where we sometimes get mixed up and try to control the other person with our so-called boundary rather than using it to guide our own actions. Now, what's another example of an emotional boundary? So how about taking time for yourself in stressful circumstances to regroup and refill your emotional tank? That just sounds like self-care, right? But can it be a boundary that you're going to make space for that, and you want to protect that space? That protection of that space is, that emotional space, that emotional time to do that is a boundary. So what could an emotional boundary for you be that might be also a good example for your children? Wow, this is another level of thinking about emotional boundaries. They're not only good for you, but they can be a good example for others, for our children. Now, they may not think so at the time, but that's your job. We already touched on setting boundaries around conversation. Now, those can be really, really good, but harder to start with. So you might get in some practice in boundary setting with something easier, something like setting an emotional boundary for yourself in a different area. Think about what fuels your emotional tank. Daily prayer time, a walk, quiet me time, maybe weekly outings without the kiddos or with your spouse. Setting a boundary to protect that important emotional refueling time might look like putting it on the schedule or on the calendar and committing to doing nothing else during that time block. It may be as simple as setting up your morning routine to work for you and your emotional needs, so you aren't steamed over skipping your shower to go look for someone else's shoes in the morning. Or scheduling a regular time your child can be looked after by someone else for your own emotional needs to be met, for you to do the things you need to do, and then making that a priority. So how can setting emotional boundaries help you avoid burnout as a mom and as a caregiver? By now you recognize that an important precursor to setting good emotional boundaries is to distinguish your own emotions and feelings from those of other people around you. That's harder for some of us than others. And as a mom and caregiver, particularly in the case of a child with attachment trauma, burnout, compassion fatigue, or secondary trauma is a risk. Making the effort to set healthy emotional boundaries for yourself can help you avoid depleting your emotional energy. Emotional boundaries can help you take needed breaks without misplaced feelings of guilt. Emotional boundaries help avoid overwhelm and help you be more effective and think more clearly. So here are some ideas of emotional boundaries that you might think through. Take breaks when you need them. Don't take things personally. Set clear expectations and consequences. Be consistent. Don't argue with your child. Ask for help when you need it. Take care of yourself. Find a support system. Wow, do any of those sound like boundaries? They just sound like more to-dos, don't they? But it takes thinking through these types of issues to know what real boundaries that you need to set. And so you may not be a person that tends to take things personally. That might be something that's not your your go-to or not your tendency. But you may be a person that is not very consistent. And so you don't know what to do next. And your child doesn't know what's expected of them next. You may argue with your child. And you may have a hard time just like keeping your mouth shut and realizing that is going down a wrong path or a path that does not lead well to a good place. So it may be something that you can have a boundary with yourself to not argue with your child and to implement that. You might have to have a boundary that works with you, and we'll have to look at individual circumstances, but that might look something like, I don't know off the top of my head, if you know your tendency is to argue back when your child says such and such, then you might have a boundary that says, hey, husband, I need you to deal with child on this issue. We can talk about it in private, and then I need you to take the lead on this, because my tendency is to argue, and that's not good for any of us. And so a boundary could be that, you know, you ask your husband to take the lead on a certain topic with your child. Or if you want it to be actually a personal unilateral boundary that you set yourself, and that's what I recommend in most cases, especially if there's a lot of tension in the household, and this is kind of getting deeper and off track, but I wanted to go ahead and finish my thought, getting off my notes, but I will veer back to my notes in a minute. The personal boundaries that are most recommended, that I recommend the most, is a personal boundary that you can implement yourself by yourself without any conflict or any having to get anybody else's buy-in. Now, if they're already bought in and they're already working cooperatively with you, then that's wonderful and that's great. And so that might be your situation. But if it's not, set a boundary that you can implement. A boundary is a two-part, what I will do, what I won't do. Okay? And so taking care of yourself, that might be a place that you struggle with that. And so you might have to set aside a time every week where you know you've got this time set aside, and maybe you even hire somebody to come in and babysit while you're still at home so that you can have that self-care time. Or maybe while you go take an appointment to do something, get your hair done or whatever. But so the self-care is not just luxurious, I'm gonna take care of me and forget everybody else. Self-care, and this is another tangent, but self-care is self-stewardship, which we're called to do. And then to find a support system. Sometimes our support systems are not very supportive when we need them, and so that's a good clue that we need to look elsewhere to get an effective support system. All right, so back to my notes and then I'll wind up. My coaching clients and I have the opportunity to work together to help them set specific emotional boundaries along with other elements of an overall success plan for their non-traditional parenting roles to bring back the clarity so that it's not so overwhelming and they can identify the real successes along the way. Just as our kiddos with less than secure attachments tend to have walls up that can impede their accepting love and nurture from us, we can go the other extreme with not enough separation, with a your pain is my pain kind of approach, an over-empathy approach, a kind of empathy on steroids, which is not healthy for anyone. We can also swing back the other way and just kind of go into bitterness mode and go into compassion fatigue and go into overwhelm, burnout, and even secondary trauma. And so there needs to be a balance so that we don't swing wildly like a pendulum and get stuck on either end. of the spectrum. So find more support in my free Facebook group with the link, or work with me one-on-one. You can get started by setting up your free clarity call, again with the link I've provided, or just sending me a message about how to get started with private coaching. Thanks for listening. I'm Dawn Baggett. Thank you for listening to this episode of Second Mom's Circle. You can read the companion blog post and more at the website at dawnbaggett.com. Also, please leave a review and follow the podcast if you found this valuable. I'm Dawn Baggett, and as always, keep learning, keep growing, and keep loving.